stuff happening.
All I see on my phone is undo the shit.
Yeah.
It's on. We're on like Donkey Kong. Welcome.
Sweet. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I tried to do a podcast through it, and I did like two episodes. But fuck it, I can't be fucked, so I stopped.
Oh, my God. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. This is going to be a dry test run. I want to see how it sounds. Just say something, anything. Happy day, whatever. Okay.
Happy fucking days.
Oopsie doos. Okay, so I'm going to hang up now. Let me listen
Bye.
To that.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, that's what she said. And so that's what I'm going to do is hang up, and then we'll do this again. But I want to hear the sound, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be great.
All right. Okay. See you soon.
Okay. I'll bye, be here. Bye. Bye.
Hello.
Hello, Gareth. Yeah. Yay, Gareth. Oh, my God. It was technical difficulties just trending on public freakout. That's what I was doing.
we're in now.
We're in. Welcome. Welcome. It's so awesome to hear your voice with your accent. You know, here I am in Houston, Texas, and you're in what part of UK are you in?
I'm in the south. I'm about 45 minutes south of London. So awesome. I'm pretty close to
okay.
that gritty city.
Gritty city. It's 11 a.m. here in Texas, here in Central Time. And what time is it over there?
It's 5:30.
Okay, so it's early. PM, it's early, early. Well, welcome.
Yeah, morning.
It's still morning. It's still afternoon. It's not nighttime. Let me, first of all, say thank you for being my first international remote podcast guest. And let me do a little intro. Which intro is super short. But hey, guys, welcome to Middle Finger Happiness, my podcast, Work Hard, Live Well, Don't Fuck With Me. That is the same title of my book that's on Amazon. And something that I have never done, and I'm going to do it right now with Gareth, is I always forget to plug in some stuff, the free stuff. But if you go to my blog with Sharon Lee Zapata or the Bitchy Business Briefs, click on free goodies. And under free goodies, I have a free book. It's a downloadable book, and it's called The 10 Things You Need Between Courage and Abundance. And no strings attached. Just get it for free. Yeah, you do put your email in, but I'm not selling anything. And it's just something I wrote from the heart when, you know, it just had a shit ton of problems and you're lacking and you need the courage. It's a great little short read. So get that on the website. And now let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to my guest, Gareth.
Hello. Hello. Hey, thanks for having me. It's a fucking honor to be your first. I'm excited.
Yes, I'm like, yes, I'm going to do this more. I'm getting better. I've learned how to do these remotely because of COVID. I love having people in the studio because it's such a cool little place to be, but you know, you have to do things differently. So, I have to tell you, man, when we met on social media, maybe about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, I think
on the internet.
On the internet, on the good old Facebook. And I want to do this early on. I do it in the beginning and the middle and the end because I don't know when people are driving or listening to this. But let's first of all tell people your full name and where they can find you. So let's go with that.
Yeah. So my name is Gareth Riddy. A lot of people over there call me Garrett, but it's not as Gareth, which you got right. So, you know, kudos to you, Sharon. Well done. Well done. Yeah, so Gareth Riddy, and I could be found all over the internet to type my name in. Gareth Riddy, GarethReady.com, but I am redoing my website, so it's shit at the moment. It's about to be redone. at Gareth Riddy on Instagram, Gareth Riddy LinkedIn, Gareth Riddy Facebook.
Oh, you got it all.
There's
together,
not very many so of us. Yeah, I've got a name.
And it's so funny you mentioned how your website's going under construction. So is mine. And it's like we never – that stuff never gets completely done. It's like having a freeway. It just completely changes. It's always been – something's being added. So, but let's get on to it. I just want to say, dude, your little book, it is already – if you could see it, I took a picture. It looks really pretty, but I'm going to show you that it's bent. It's got corners bent, highlighted, tabs, marker. I mean, I went through your book and I still do. It's on the coffee table at the house. And then I left it outside in the patio and then it rained and I came back and it didn't get wet. So it's just been a pocket of, it's a little pocketbook. Let me describe it so my audience can hear this. It's kind of a self-discovery, self-destruction, self-repair, self-value book. And I went through all the chapters and just, I love it. So I'm going to ask you some questions, but first of all, tell me how you came across the movement therapist. 'Cause that's what you're known for. And
yeah,
how did that come about? And then we'll get into your book.
So initially, I was, a doorman for many years, a nightclub doorman, you know, right, fighting people and living. And I got into health and fitness because I had a lot of asthma issues. So, like, reaching for your inhaler mid-fight is less than ideal. So that pushed me to get fitter. And then I fell in love with fitness, I guess. It was there that I first discovered that I had a little bit more control over my life than I originally thought. You know, I was in full-on victim mode.
Right.
And that eventually led me to personal training. And then it kind of all came from personal training. You know, I started learning some stuff. And so I've got like a long history of being unhealthy and unhappy and drugs and illness and all that type of stuff, like, in my life. And the better I made myself feel, the more value I saw to it, you know?
Right.
My mum died a few years back. And she said, like, before she died, she's like, right, you've got a choice. You can have the house, or we'll sell the house and her brother and sister get some of the money and I get the rest. I was like, I want that fucking one, please, we'll do that one. A house is security, and the way I see it is security is usually a fucking trap, you know. There's no security quite like your growth. So I basically put a lot of money into my own education, into stuff that I never had access to, and I just followed the dots. And initially I started learning stuff just to help people move better and be in less pain in the gym. That was the whole point of it. But as I learned more and more, I kind of fell in love, and I just ran with it. It was like the universe tapped me on the shoulder. I went, you do this now. And I'm like, all right, fair enough. And here I am. You know, I just kind of ran with it, and it was it.
And you feel better. I know for I talk about this openly, and I do have depression and anxiety. I don't even know if I really have it. I have a better grip and control on it. And so I have found that, same here. If I don't do my physical activity, if I don't run, if I don't go ride my bike, if I don't do my yoga, if I don't do my little weights, the body tells you, fuck you, you're going back to the shithole and let's go. And so it's almost like you have to do that. And one of the things you talk about, and I'm going to quote you on this because I was listening. I'm a really good listener. I do talk a lot, but I do listen a lot. And you just said something epic. You said there's no security like your growth. And so with that said, you know, one of the things you talked about is how our body clock, it's more than just sleeping. It's, you know, tell us about that. What does your body clock do for our bodies, and how are we supposed to reset it if it's not set?
So we are essentially, all life is synced into the light and dark cycles of the earth in some way. Whether they're nocturnal or not, it doesn't matter what it is, everything goes through this sync. And it's what's known as a circadian rhythm, essentially. So we're linked into this 24-hour process. Now, with us as human beings, when it's light, that signals to our brain that it's daytime through the skin, through the eyes, and the brain goes, fucking hell, it's daytime, I've got shit to do. So it will start like activating all the daytime neurotransmitters and hormones and all that type of business. And in the night, the darkness will signal the opposite, and it'll activate all the restorative, regenerative, relaxing type hormones, neurotransmitters and chemistry and stuff.
Right.
So we should be synced in to this.
And now, I see that with what happens to people who stay up super late and they're like, oh, I'm just going to be up till 2 or 4 in the morning working on the website. And then it just throws their body off the next day. And I see people like that and they gain weight and they exactly. Just not. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the body's going through so much. And when we are synced the way we should be, you know, our liver is massively synced into stuff. So it affects how our liver functions because different organs and glands are doing different things at different times of day based on this rhythm, right? So our liver is metabolizing our sex hormones, so testosterone and estrogen, so also thyroid hormones, toxins, glucose, you know, sugars, lipids, the fats, all this stuff's getting metabolized and more. So if we're not in sync, it's not metabolizing stuff properly. And that's just a handful of things I mentioned there, right? Thyroid, sugar, stress hormones. You can see how a few little things like that being out can lead to that alone is a fuck lot of people that are on long-term medication that don't necessarily need to be.
They don't. We don't need it.
If somebody has a circadian mismatch, then they end up going to the doctors thinking something's out, but they're just completely out of sync with their whole body. And also you've got the whole mental health, you know, neurotransmitters balancing stuff. There's a lot going on.
And I think that has to do with, and you mentioned it in your book, your environment. I mean, if your environment, and trust me, growing up, I didn't come from the perfect background. A lot of us don't. But if you're constantly in that flight or fight or that chaos constantly, a little bit of it's good because it makes you do something. But when people are constantly in that and they're in like really bad toxic environments, that also affects all how you metabolize everything in your hormones. Can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you know, environment is stronger than will at the end of the day. So that is a big problem. Yeah, so essentially people grow up learning it and the brain kind of adapts to that. But the long and short of it, and this is really what is at the root of all modern illnesses, is that all life on this planet, doesn't matter what it is, it could be like an amoeba, could be a tree, could be a fucking panda or a lettuce or us, it doesn't matter, they all go through this process day to day, right? It's either in one of two phases. It's either in a phase of growth where it's taken in from the environment, its resources and whatever to replenish, restore and grow, or it's in a phase of defense, essentially. So it's defending itself from the environment, whatever it is coming in, right? Now, because we only have finite resources, what that means is all those resources available for growth then get diverted away from to deal with the defense of the threat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in us, this is what's known as rest and digest and fight and flight. So when we're in rest and digest mode, our digestion's working well, our immune function's working well, we've got a lot of resources up in the front of our brain where we have all the executive functions, so logic, creativity, reasoning, all that type of stuff is up there. Impulse control is up there. And when we become in a threat, all that stuff gets diverted away from, and then it goes into the muscles to help us fight or flight or to prepare, right? Now, no species is designed for long periods of threat. They're all designed for long periods of growth and short periods of threat. But we live in a world which is basically alien to us because we're not meant for it, which means that we are in, at the very least, low-level threat the vast majority of the time. So that's a lot of resources shuttled away from very important functions. And that really has a knock-on effect to everything and anything you can think of, your digestion, your immune function, brain function, all that stuff.
Well, that's kind of like with the title of your book, How to Undo the Shit the Modern World Does to Us. And I don't believe a lot of people realize how much everything we see, we do, we eat, or we don't see, we don't eat, and we don't do affects your whole body. And then you want to know, I'm 40, but I feel like I'm 80. Well, no, something's wrong. And something in your book that stood out to me is, you know, when people say, oh, I'm just getting old, you know, my shoulder hurts. Well, things shouldn't hurt all the time. And so that comes from being in that, like you said, that threat or that defense environment. So how do people make some small changes that are listening? They're like, you don't know my life, but I don't know. What do you suggest?
I think the most important thing is for people to realize that nothing is random in this life, and that all these little issues that you have, pains, aches, movement issues, tightness, sleep problems, even emotional issues, they're not just a random event in your life. I think we need to learn to become a little bit more connected to our body and learn that these things are the body asking something. The pain is a request for change, essentially. And if the body doesn't get the change it wants, it just gets worse and worse and worse. But we've become so disconnected that we no longer actually listen. We just let it get worse and worse and worse. And then when it falls to pieces, we got the doctors to medicate the problem away, which is not going to fucking medicate the problem away because the body trying to get you to do something.
Exactly. Yeah. So when people go to the doctor and they're like, just get on this pill and you know, it'll fix it. But it really, I mean, that's not the way to do it.
Exactly. Nobody's ill because of a lack of medication. You know, it's not like a nutritional fucking need. It's
right.
The body responding in a certain way based on, you know, environment or whatever. So that's kind of really, it's really a concept that I want people to understand because people live life randomly and they wonder why it doesn't go their way. So that's probably my top tip is to really just fucking listen. What is your body saying? You know, and just learn to listen and respond and act and just experiment, you know.
And I think I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is something that a lot of people feel with cultures, like, well, my family has always eaten this way, you know, or, you know, we've always done it this way. And that to me is such a bullshit statement, because if you want to change and you want to self-repair, you have to stop doing what everybody else has been doing all these years. If they're still eating shit food, you want to go down that rabbit hole, you're welcome to it. But if you want to start eating differently, so you have any, I guess, advice on people that, you know, they come across, I mean, in your line of work, have you ever had a client that says, well, you know, Gareth, we just do, this is how we are. This is how we eat. I can't change.
Yeah. That is a sign of a very stressed mind. You know, a stressed mind cannot take on new things. It can only play patterns. So that's when they're stuck in that pattern. For somebody to try and change their eating, for instance, if their nervous system is so ramped up, it's not going to fucking happen, you know. Or any kind of, you're trying to bring in a new habit. You've probably had it yourself. I know I've had it myself, and I've seen a lot of fucking clients do it as well. Is you try and implement something really fucking simple, like the simplest thing in the world, but you can't do it. Even though you know it's great for you, you just can't make yourself do it. So this is a sign that the nervous system is just too ramped up. So really, before I start getting into the nitty-gritty of what the body needs and how to make it function better and all that type of stuff, my first port of call is just to settle that nervous system the fuck down, you know, to work on some kind of relaxation, whatever it is. And once the nervous system settles down a little bit, then you get more of those resources back into the frontal cortex of the brain where you can think and you can make choices, you can make decisions, instead of just being in reflexive, reactive mode where you just fuck off everything that is different.
It's true. And also what I've learned over the years, and it took me forever, is like my morning routine is boring as fuck, but it is beautiful. It's, you know, the dogs greet me. I do grab my coffee. I go sit in our tiny patio that's got greenery and I hear birds and, you know, I might be sweating because it's hotter than hell here in Houston, Texas, but I sit there and I ease into my morning and I look at the bugs. I look at the ants. I kind of talk to the dog. I mean, it's just a little ritual to ease into my morning. It's not a chaotic morning. It used to be chaos. It used to be rushing, you know, doing this, doing that. I never gave myself the time. So would you say like a routine, a morning routine is, you know, be routine in your routine. I guess what that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. They're big, you know. I think that as a general kind of overall concept with people, it's important to take control of yourself first thing in the morning. Because what people tend to do is they pick up their phone, they look at Facebook or email or watch the news or whatever it is, and all that stress and negativity and shit is bombarding your brain straight off the fucking bat and putting you on the back foot, you know.
Yeah.
And once that's happened, you've lost yourself and you've no longer got control because you're already stressed, you're already reacting, you know.
Yeah.
So definitely something in the morning just to take a breath, just relax and center yourself before you move, whatever it is, whether it be journaling, meditation, or even just getting up 10 minutes early and just doing fuck all. It doesn't matter, you know.
As soon as
you kick it off, you're off.
You're off in the morning. And, you know, many, many years ago, I say many, probably 9/11, when 9/11 hit here in the U.S., that was like the trigger moment for me. I don't watch TV. I still don't watch TV in the morning. And I know families, and I have families, the first thing they do is turn on the news because they got to, you know, no, I don't do that. And I've seen a huge difference in my health, in my creativity. As I've gotten older, I still have the hamster energy, but I also have that calmness. And, you know, I think that's, like you said, you know, first thing in the morning. I don't even check the phone in the morning. It's on a vibrate and it's face down. And I, like I said, I have that little boring routine, and it helps. So, also in your book, you mentioned, tell us about this. Is, I think it was funny, but it's not funny. You work in one of the roughest parts of town, where even the taxi drivers refuse to pick up people. Now, this is when you were a doorman for a club, and you did that for 17 years.
On and off, On I started when I was 21, and I finished when I was 38.
And so, I mean, I'm sure you got some stories there on how you dealt with that.
It was an interesting time. I mean, that club that I was in, I mean, it was a shithole. It was a proper shithole. You know, it was, it was rough. You know, it was a kind of place that if somebody went on the floor, like fell over in a fight, everybody would have a kick, regardless of who it was, whether they're their mates or not. It was just one of those kind of places, you know, like I've seen it happen to girls, I've seen it happen to guys. It was just, it was a fucking rough place.
That's not a good environment for growth.
No, it wasn't. I mean, I was younger when I was there, and my whole attitude was very different as well, being around that environment. Obviously, you're going to be. But I got a lot of growth from it on the back end, you know. Once you've kind of been through the violence and all that type of shit, you learn stuff. It changes you. So, I'm very glad that I did it. But, I've seen a few interesting things, to say the least.
You got to get his book. It's a short, easy read, and it's so impactful. But I mean, if you hadn't have been through the, I call them the shit shows. If you hadn't have been through the shit shows, you would not be, qualified to write the book to do the things you do. So all of that happened for a reason. And so I want to talk to you, also ask you about, you know, the cancer that you had. It was a cyst, and I read that, and you were one of the first people in the, what was it, they did some medical research, or they did something that you were, you used the word pioneer in there. Tell us about that.
Where the pioneering came from, the fact that I was the youngest person ever to have that kind. So, you know, that's a trendsetter. So it wasn't anything pioneering in terms of treatment. It just happened that I was very fucking unusually young to have such a thing occur. You know, I was 24 years old. It was 20 years ago, a couple of days ago, the 20th anniversary of that.
Wow.
So this was
a cyst that was the size of a tennis ball that was on the side of your throat.
It came up and then it went down again. And then it came up again, probably a month or so later, and it didn't go down. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? It was like having mumps. Do you have mumps over there? What's it? Is it impetigo, you call it, or something? Is it? Anyway, it's something. Anyway, so it came up, and then I went to doctors, and they lanced it, sucked the shit out, basically. And the doctor said, okay, it's fine. There's just a little bit left in there, which we need to book in 6 weeks' time to get it taken out. Now, it wasn't 6 weeks, I know that much, but I could tell you when it was, maybe a few months later. And I had it out, and it was only like a little lump. And when I woke up, I had like this sort of 3-4 inch scar on my throat. I was like, fucking hell, this is pretty cool. Got a big scar, happy days. And then when I went in literally the first thing I did when I woke up from the operation, so a friend of mine had turned up with some weeds. We went outside and got really stoned. Brilliant. Anyway.
We're gonna go back to the marijuana, because marijuana is good for you. I'm a firm believer in that.
Well, it's like anything, isn't it? It depends how you use it.
Well, it depends on how you use it. Yes, very true. So go ahead with the cancer. Yeah.
Where was it? Yeah. So I went in for like a checkup, like a couple of weeks later, after I had stitches out and stuff, which I took out myself.
Probably. I saw that you took the stitches out yourself. Now, did you use tweezers? Why would you take stitches out yourself? Isn't that like Howie.
Yeah, I actually, I burnt the knot off with a joint because I was getting stoned at the time and then just pulled them up. Smart kid. And then when I went in for the checkup, the doctor told me, and he was like, you know, surprise, you got cancer. I was like, fucking hell. And I couldn't really tell you what happened when he told me. It was just like a bubble suddenly appeared. Everything went black and white, and it was just like a weird underwater feeling. And then I had 6 weeks of radiotherapy after that, and another operation.
And you've been in the clear all this time?
Yes. Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've been through a lot, and that's why it was just so interesting. I couldn't put your book down. It was like, and I love your book doesn't have any pages, page numbers. It doesn't have pages. It has pages. It has no page numbers. So you're like, what the hell? What the fuck? Where am I? Where was the chapter? And it has no really quote chapters, but it does have chapters. You start them with letters. And so G for grounding. And, you know, I learned about grounding, I think about 7 years ago. And I'm always grounding. I'm always barefooted. Everywhere I go, I'm barefooted. So that for me is grounding. You want to tell the listeners about that, what grounding does for us?
Yeah, so grounding or barefoot earthing is kind of more commonly known. I went with grounding because it fits in my name better, you know, because I fit everything with G and A and R and so on and so forth. you know, the Gareth Principles, as I've since called it. It's a grounding. So really what it is the earth is a big electromagnetic ball, essentially.
It is.
And all life is electromagnetic in nature, and there's a constant flow backwards and forwards between the earth and all living things through the conductive nature of life, right? And we know life's conductive because if somebody gets electrocuted, you've got to poke them with a wooden handle. So all life is constantly in contact, getting all the good stuff. And we've got like the Schumann's resonance, I think it's called, but also it's a great source of free electrons. And I'll get electrons later, but that might be a good idea, wouldn't it? So I'll assume that all your listeners know what an atom looks like, or have seen a pictorial representation of an atom, as we will have.
Right.
So the little dots around the outside of atoms that float around the outside, they are electrons. Now, atoms lose electrons all the time, just a normal day-to-day, you know, function, it just happens. But what happens is when an atom loses an electron, it then becomes unstable. So what it will do is it will rob an electron off his next door neighbor, like a dirty little thieving fucker. And that will create a chain reaction of events of atoms basically robbing the shit out of each other till every atom has enough electrons or the thing just breaks down and degenerates. And this is how cellular degeneration, what's known as free radical damage, occurs. And this is why people age at different rates depending on how well they are at getting and expending electrons. People that don't get enough and they expend a lot age quicker. They have a face more like a shoe at a lot earlier age. Do you know what I mean? So this is really important to get the electrons in for our health. It's long and short. You know, it stops us degenerating.
So how do you? Because that caught my attention. Some people age faster or slower than others, and is it constantly being grounded? Is it constantly being connected with the magnetic force on the planet? Does that slow it down? Does that help?
Yeah, it definitely helps. If you think about it, all life is all the time. You know, birds are when they land in the trees, the fish are, they're in the water, everything else always is. We live in a world where our shoes are made of rubber, so we're cut off. We live in houses, we drive cars, we've essentially altered our environment, so we're no longer in contact. You know? So we're massively, massively cut off. And it's not just a lack of it where we get it from contact with the grass or trees or however it is from direct skin, but also the lives that we lead, we do stuff which expends more, such as poor quality food, you know, pollution, stress, you know, even artificial electromagnetic fields such as Wi-Fi and all that type of stuff all contributes to the cell expending more than we're taking in, is the long and short of it. Not exercising, all that type of stuff, you know.
Oh, it's amazing how it's just all connecting. Are you connecting all the dots? So in your book, I know you had the letters G-A-R-E-T-H, which is your name. And so the next one was attention. And then I skipped over creativity, express creativity, and then reclaiming your movement. But can you elaborate a little bit about attention,
attention
for us? I don't know.
So, yeah, I guess.
When you're paying attention, you're being more present. I think because everybody, it's like we have 14, 15 browsers open in our brain, maybe 30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the long and short of it is the more attention we pay to something, the better it is. Whatever it is, you know, whether it be we're cooking, whether it be we're creating something artistically, whether we are just orally pleasuring somebody. Whatever it is, the more attention we give it.
I got that. Quality relies on attention. Let's have a quality munch. Yes, yeah. Quality.
Exactly. Yeah, don't get distracted. Do it properly. So that's kind of the long and short of it. But also, neurologically speaking, the more attention we pay, the more the brain lights up, and the more the brain lights up, the more it wires together, so it actually makes a healthier brain. The less the brain lights up, the more habituated stuff we do, then the brain starts breaking away all these little connections that it deems it no longer needs. So it's really important to do stuff that you pay attention to, because it actually grows connections in the brain and gives you a healthier brain.
And that has something to do with, I see people, I have friends that are a little bit older, and their parents are older. Let me rephrase that. Their parents are older, and, dementia or Alzheimer's. I think these things are related to having, like you mentioned earlier, a stressed brain. You know, a stressed mind cannot take on new things. So do you think that's one of the things that leads to Alzheimer's or dementia? Possible.
Yeah. So, well, I'm going to get into something a little bit technical here, only slightly though. So what's behind kind of dementia and Alzheimer's and that type of stuff is it does ward down stress at some level. Is within the brain, we've got neurons, which are like the nerve cells where the brain communicates and does all its fucking shit. But also we have glial cells. Now there's loads of different kind of ones. Now there's more glial cells than there are neurons in the brain, and the glial cells are essentially their job is maintenance, right? So when there's an issue, they'll go in, they'll have a clear up, they'll break stuff down, debris, they'll create inflammatory processes to help clear out any issues. but also they myelinate, which means that they help insulate the nerves so they fire better, communicate better. Now they become active in times of maybe stress or a head knock or a trauma or whatever it is. They go in, they do their shit, they clean up, and then they fuck off again.
Got it.
Now, if they become activated again, what's known as a secondary activation, there's been, let's say, another head knock, which is why it's big in contact sports, or prolonged periods of stress or secondary trauma or something like that, then what can happen is they stay activated. And if they stay activated, they keep on going, they keep on trucking, and they just start breaking shit down and causing damage, essentially. And that's a big factor.
Yeah, it's like a one-time thing. I mean, like you said, the first time you get that little hit, the trauma to the head, they repair and then they get the fuck out of there. And then if it happens again, they're like, they're there and they're not going anywhere. They're going to constantly be in there.
Yeah, they're off. Yeah, they're causing havoc. They become a little bit rogue, essentially. So that's kind of what's behind that, and that can be due to long-term stress, it can be to physical trauma, it can also be emotional trauma. You know, we live in a world where we're exposed to much more stress and emotional trauma than we actually would do if we lived in our natural environment.
You know, and I think what has happened to we become accustomed to it, we don't even really see it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? We're like, that's the way it is again, but it's not. And I noticed that on your website, or is it on your Facebook page, you have a course or you have a class. Tell us about that so the listeners can, maybe they're like, ooh, this guy, I really want to hear more about what he does. Can you give us a little bit more?
The course is just the book souped up. Well, because the book's a couple of years old now, it's what? Yeah, I would have written about 3 years ago now.
So it's still a new book, though. Yeah, it's still rather new, though.
Yeah. Thank you. So the course is based on the book. It's still the Gareth Principles, but there's just more into it. And there's more stuff that I've learned, and there's some more techniques in there. There's a couple of meditations, like brain drills to bring up certain brain areas to help stimulate and things like that. You know, and techniques to lower stress response in the body. So it's much kind of deeper and in depth, and you get to see my face and hear me talk shit.
Oh no, I love it. So yeah, you have here, clear any injuries you have for good. Ability to move, reduce and remove pain, complain. Yeah, got it. So this is awesome. I'm on your website.
The injury stuff isn't quite that good on it. Like, I don't really talk about injuries too much in the course, because for something like that, you need to kind of see somebody directly. Do you know what I mean? So I don't want to kind of put out the illusion that they're going to all of a sudden get rid of their pain. That may need a little bit more. But it's more about helping you managing your life better.
Right. You can be found drinking coffee. Are you a coffee drinker?
Yeah.
I was when I was getting ready to do the podcast, I was, you know, was rushing a little bit, and I'm waiting for my Keurig, my coffee to brew. I was like, I gotta have my cup of coffee here this morning. And so I was, and we were trying so hard to connect. Yeah. And I'm glad we did it. Well, I'm going to have to wrap this up soon because I have something else to move on to. I want to have you on as a guest again, maybe toward the end of the year. I love what you're working on. I know we all need that self-repair, that self-value, that self-discovery, so to speak, because of the self-destruction. It's all connected. And nothing... I appreciate you being here so much. I can't say thank you enough. I wish you were here live in the studio. So let's let everybody know again where they can just find you. Everything is Gareth, G-A-R-E-T-H, Riddy, R-I-D-D-Y.
Yeah, R-I-D-D-Y. That's it. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. You never know. I may be in that country one day if I'm allowed back in at some point.
Well, I love how you're so raw on Facebook, and I love it because I'm like, this guy is not a fucking afraid to be himself. And I noticed, like, even if I drop F-bombs on my writing, either people start not following, and I'm like, okay, good, the path is clear. You're not part of my world, you know. There's just not everybody's invited. So any last minute tips or advice for anybody who would like to just, I guess, a mini session with you, like a 30 second, hey, this is what you could do today. Today you could do this.
So first thing, listen to your fucking body. The body never lies. Even though the mind denies and justifies, the body never fucking lies. It's telling you shit. Learn that shit and respect yourself. And just fucking respect yourself enough to listen to it. Don't believe the head is talking fucking shit. So that's number one. Number two is grounding, earthing is super, super important. It's not a fucking optional extra. Just earth yourself, get outside, contact nature, buy some earthing kit that you can plug into the mains at home. However you want to do it, make sure you're getting your electrons in. And the other thing is get blue light blocking glasses or block blue light out of your screens because it's very disruptive to your circadian rhythm.
Blue light?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, we're going to talk about that. Or I'm going to put all these in the notes on the when I post. Ooh. And so, body never lies, grounding, and then blue light glasses.
Yeah,
and those are the things.
And blue light filters on your backlit devices, the screens, turn it onto nighttime mode, that type of shit. Because the blue light is very aggressive, and it triggers to our brain its daytime much more, and the neurotransmitters are kicking off much more, and it's hazardous to our health. It's one of the big fucking problems in the modern world. It's too much light, essentially. It's very disruptive.
It is. And then now that we have, well, I went to go get my eyes checked because I have glasses. They now can offer you that in your lens. So it blocks out. Yeah, well, over here they do. I went to my optometrist and like, yeah, you want the stuff that blocks out the stuff on the computer. I'm like, yeah, anything to help my eyeballs. Again, man, I'm so thrilled you were here for a bit, and we're going to continue this. We'll do this again probably this fall, hopefully. Oh, I didn't ask you, how's everything going in the UK with COVID and the COVID-19? Before I do hang up, how's that handling?
It's a bit weird. Like, things are kind of going back to normal. Like, the pubs and bars are open, but there's obviously social distancing and stuff. Just bringing in next weekend, they're doing this. The government have now decided that everybody needs to wear masks in shops. But it took them 10 days to bring it in, which is just fucking stupid. Do you know what I mean? If it's that much of a problem, then you bring it in the next day. You don't wait 10 days for people's fucking convenience. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like a real stupidly fucking way of doing it. But yeah, we're really concerned. But 10 days' time, we'll do it. It's fine. The virus can wait outside.
And we have it here in Houston or in Texas. It's demanding you gotta wear a mask now, you know. So it's in public, you know, and it's I don't know what to make of this. I'm getting tired of it, but I know it's not gonna be here forever.
It will end,
but we just got to stay creative and do things differently. And like I said, I'm so thrilled I was able to have my first international remote guest, and it was you.
Yeah, fuck yeah. It's been a wonderful time of growth. This whole experience has been amazing, and I'm very fucking honored that you had me here. How cool is that shit?
It's very cool because, you know, it's funny. Somebody asked me, like, how do you build, you know, the podcast? And I'm like, well, you got to remember, 2015, I started blogging stories. I lost my job. I was laid off. I made too much commission, blah, blah, blah. And so the bitchy business briefs was grown. And 5 years of writing content. So by the time the podcast popped its head out of the hole, there was already a small following. And that's why I think it has, you know, it takes time. It's not like you just add water and stir and then everybody knows where you're at. So it's still very much in the growth process. So you are episode number 69.
Oh, right? Yeah. I'm fucking honored for that number. Yeah, that was amazing.
I was like, it's number 69. Awesome. So we'll get that off there.
That, Gareth. Like, you've made
my fucking
day.
That's a good number.
Sweet.
Well, thanks for being here today. And again, I'll put all the links in to where people can contact you and follow you. And again, thank you so much. Everybody, go get his book. It's so awesome. It's on Amazon. And the title is How to Undo the Shit the Modern World Does to Us. And it is just a wonderful, I call it like a pocket poly book. I mean, this book is just one of those, I love it. It's, you just can go to it all the time. So thanks, Gareth.
Thank you so much. It's on Audible as well, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay, Audible. Yeah. I didn't get my books on Audible. We have to chat.
I don't know if it is over there, but it definitely is in here anyway.
Amazon, the cool thing about Amazon, it's worldwide. Like you can see on the dashboard where it's Japan, it's England, it's London, it's Germany, it's worldwide. So the book is available internationally all over the world. So, but with that said, we're going to come to a close. And if you guys have any questions, you can email me at middlefingerhappiness@gmail.com, or you could go to the website middlefingerhappiness.com. And again, just thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for coming. Thanks for having me. Thanks for listening, listeners. Don't live life randomly.
Guys. Right. Have a great day. Peace out. Take care. Bye-bye.
Big punk ass love.
Big punk ass love from Gareth. Yes. Bye-bye.
Awesome.